September 16, 2020. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Waqiduddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.com archives and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So we will open with a short dua and then we will begin or continue where we left off last Wednesday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-karim Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mubarak. Women complain heard in shura. The Quran surah 58 ayat 1, women who complain. I often say, look at the elephant, how big the body of an elephant is, and look at the size of his head. Now, look at a donkey and look at the size of his head, a big head, in comparison to the body. But the elephant has a small head in comparison to the body. I wish Pastor Jeremiah Wright was hearing what I'm saying right now. The donkey can have 50 doctorate degrees. It doesn't make any difference. He's still a donkey because his head is too big in comparison to his body. Any of you ever heard of the big-headed scientist called Yaqub that is in the Nation of Islam's myths? Look at the human being, physically autonomy. Look how small our heads is in comparison to our body. So the more evolved life it is, the less attention you give our own intelligence, and the more attention you give the need that your intelligence was created to serve. And you have to make sure, if you're going to make decisions that is going to affect the future of mankind on this planet Earth, or our neighborhood congregation, your decision should be made by shura bainahum. You must meet with the best minds and character. The more decent people must meet, even females can be included, because we know the whole chapter is named the woman who complains. If she's heard in the Quran, Holy Scripture, you know she is supposed to be heard in our shura. The Quran, Surah 58, Ayah 7, if there are two, I am the third. So the whole world could say, we don't like you. I will continue to do my best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more company than the whole world. The whole world, they bore me. The whole world is like a big, empty tomb when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not by my side. What do I need with graveyard company? I don't need graveyard company. My company is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the company of the faithful people who trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that kind of love, it seems as though the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just multiplies. Oh, yes. The more company we get that feels the same way, it seems that the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so heavy there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if there is two of you, I am the third. If there is three, I am the fourth. If there is more, I am the next. How wonderful it is. The Quran, Surah 58, Ayat 7, no secret meetings of three, Allah is four. Matthew 18:20. two or three gathered, I am there. Before him, doesn't man like you are before me? You are before God all the time. He is where you are all the time. Mohammed, praise and the peace be upon him, said that if there is two of us, God is the third. And if any number above that, God is the next. So if there is 5 billion and so people on this earth, God is with us. He's the next. Then add one more because there is God with us. So God is out there and God is right there. God is with us always, have been. So meeting God doesn't mean that you're going to go to somewhere or go to Mecca, to the Kaaba, to meet God. He lives there. That's his residence. Let's get away from this childish kindergarten way of seeing things. The way God is also the way of truth. Now understand that Al-Islam is a religion that revived interest in the exact science and also the other sciences, psychology and all other. Al-Islam awakened that interest in that and made it possible for the world to come out of darkness and grow to where it has grown today, to be a world appreciating the sciences and technology that would have not been possible had it not been for Quran and Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, coming to bring the spiritual communities back to their calling. Their first calling is the calling God gave Adam, and his calling was to be responsible for his own life and for the world around him. Group sits and bickers, seeking God's guided spirit. So Quran Surah 58, Ayah 7, Allah is amongst the group. So you mean when we are interacting like we are now? Not necessarily when we are disconnected. That happens too when we are disconnected, because when we see ourselves disconnected, God has connected all of us. So we are connected though we see ourselves not connected. So we are connected as light. But she is talking about like we are sitting here. So there are spiritual orders or spiritual devotional society that meet together just for that purpose. They have it as a main function of their spiritual organization or spiritual group to meet together. Even Muslims do this. Meet together just for that purpose so that we will learn how to have patience and how to believe in the will and the spirit of God, and how to set and have patience and reflect on his wonderful names, his purity, and reflect on his peace, to come more into his peace, so that we become peaceful, that the things that normally trouble us are not reaching us at that particular time. So you have separated yourself from all troubles, and you are just dwelling in God's peace. I'm using these terms for what of other terms that you would perhaps understand better, to be in God's peace and to have patience and wait on him, not to ask for cake and ice cream or for a drink of water, ask for nothing. Just be patient and wait on him. So Quran Surah 58, Ayah 7, Allah is amongst the group. Question. I wonder if you could speak on something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as divine revelation, but the world has turned us to listen to each other. Could you speak on the ability of people to listen to other people in the spiritual realm? Imam W. Dean Muhammad. You mean when we are interacting like we are now? Not necessarily when we are disconnected. That happens too when we are disconnected, because when we see ourselves disconnected, God has connected all of us. So we are connected though we see ourselves not connected. We are connected as life. What she is talking about we are sitting here. So there are spiritual orders, a spiritual devotional society that meet together just for that purpose. They have it as a main function of their spiritual organization or spiritual group to meet together. Even Muslims do this, meet together just for that purpose, so that we will learn how to have patience and how to believe in the will and spirit of God, and how to set and have patience, reflect on his wonderful name, his purity, and reflect on his peace, to come more into his peace, so that we become peaceful, that things that normally trouble us are not reaching us at that particular time. So you have separated yourself from all trouble, and you are just dwelling in God's peace. I'm using these terms for what of other terms that you would perhaps understand better to be in God's peace, and to have patience and wait on him, not to ask for cake and ice cream or for a drink of water. Ask for nothing. Just be patient and wait on him. And while you are waiting patiently, you are doing this in conjunction with other members in your immediate environment and circumstances. And if you do that, God brings great relief to your soul and spirit, and sometimes God enriches your mind and understanding. You should wait on God to manifest in one of you his mercy and his blessings to that effect. So these spiritual orders believe that one person will speak, sometimes one will speak, and another will follow, and the different ones will speak who are witnessing this. They believe that when they speak, it is God they are hearing, and not themselves. I said all that to point to people who have faith. First, we must have serious faith like those people who have practiced that kind of spiritual obedience and silence, where they silence their own interests for the sake of knowing God. So we have to have faith, and we have to have patience, and we have to have that degree of seriousness to have what we need to listen to each other. The wisest of people, you can have a room full of PhDs and they have trouble listening to each other. It is not a lot of knowledge that is needed to have us listen to each other. It is just a certain condition of the spirit and the soul we need to be able to listen to each other. So we put God first and foremost, and we realize that what we have to offer is absolutely nothing when it is seen in the light of what God has to offer us. And we don't think of ourselves so important, then we can shut our mouth for a while and listen to each other. The truth of real intelligence is that you will listen to others. That is one of the greatest signs and greatest evidence of a person being intelligent. They will listen to others. Anybody who has to talk all the time and is uncomfortable listening to another person, even though that person may be under you in knowledge or formal education, if you have no will spirit to listen to them, your intelligence is flawed badly. Sister, you have a listener here. I love to listen to others, and I encourage all of you to listen more than you talk. Listen a lot and talk a little. The Quran, Surah 59, Ayah 7, wealth not circulate in hand of a few welfare. So Luke 10:30, God's good Samaritan. Verse 6, okay, and the neighbors who are near, okay, and the neighbors who are strangers, he says, and the companions by your side. When that's a bill, with Nesabil and the wayfarer with Nesabil. And the traveler, or like you say, child of the road, is a wayfarer, child of the road. So it's not exactly a child of the road, because child of the road means a person who have never had a home, like a person who's always been out of doors. But this means, yes, child of the road. See, it is that when that's Sabil means that they are homeless. A person is stranded in the road. And those stranded in the road, yes, sir, some people just roam from place to place. What you call people like that, vagabond. A vagabond, no, that's an ugly sense. And this is a good sense. When that's the bill, it's out of time, because a long time ago, people used to be up the road and it was honorable. They would be traveling for weeks in different places, never sitting down in any place. Or they would be traveling like the Bedouin, moving their whole community. But this person be traveling place to place, like maybe looking for income. But it might be stranded tonight. He needs some place to stay until he can find a job in this place, you know. No, something like that. Not quite that either. And then some would just travel for education. That would be the way he gets his education. He would travel to different places. He would get some information or certain scholars in such place. And he would travel all the way just to go to that scholar. And after he studied there, he'd move on to another place. So there was many reasons why there were people of the road, you know. So really the time has changed. And this meaning is no more the same to be applied, you see. So I think if we put persons stranded in the road, I think it would be better, because it's a person that deserves some help. Okay, now, here is a problem connected with hereafter. And it's changed its meaning long time ago. This word for host, pardon me, guest, for guest host. But the word is guest, right? Guest plural. So this word now, a long time ago, it would be right if I mean even this connection, it would be good. It's all right. But now it's not. So you know this world uses to mean like the Good Samaritan. So the man who needed help, the victim, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, he was deified. He was deified. Is singular, I believe, for this word, deified, means you guess or guess. Deified, but it means that. The guess is one. Or the guess is on you at that time. So the guess is one is on you because of some needs of some weakness of some kind. So really, and they're thinking in another society is good, but it is. But in our society, I don't think it's so good. Even in their society now, they're changed. So they are fine, weak, yes, stranded. So this death fine. Means a guest who needs your support, needs your protection, pardon me, needs your protection, you see. And you know the word da'if means weak or sickly or something. So this da'if is of that same word, but it's not a nice. It's not a weakness because of sickness. It is a weakness because of situation. So your guess in olden days was somebody who was stranded like the welfarer. So he is a victim of circumstances. Then he took him to the inn, and at the inn, he becomes a Daphi, which is the singular of this word. He becomes a guest. So the guest was because of his weakness. So there's some weaknesses, some needs, you see. So he needed the protection of the inn, right? So we don't want this kind of word. What we want is the other word that you use. You want visitor. And even if you go to another place, another city, and you host some people, it still would be better to treat them as visitors. So this is that fact. So what I would suggest is that you just get rid of all the Arabic and don't use the Arabic terminology, but use guests in English. So that's right. Use hosts and hostesses. So that's right. Use just the English. Host, hostesses, hospitality. And the treatment of the word is good. Okay, so just leave all the Arabic out. The Arabic word has a different meaning, and it should have been treated too. If you're going to use English, you see, you have to treat the Arabic word too. So the Arabic word Daphi comes from, as he says, that it won't quite fit what you want to do, you see, because these people are not people who need your protection or stranded or something. Although when somebody comes into your meeting, they are your responsibility. They get hurt in there, and you are responsible. So they are in a weaker situation when they are your guests. So they are in a weaker situation, but I think if we went into it and explained, put the English beneath the meaning, we could do it to the Arabic. So I said, if we do it to the Arabic, well, we'll have to trace it back to a dependency on us or something, and we wouldn't want them to think like that. Oh, you're conscious of them. Some things used in here is okay. So in fact, the English, all the, this English is okay, but to treat the Arabic definition will be a problem. So wait, so we want to take all the Arabic out. The Quran, Surah 59, Ayah 2 to 5, and 9 to 14, War Conduct. Bukhari, Volume 4, page 25, 27, and 28, War Conduct. Long before the modern world took interest in preserving animal life, vegetation, trees, etc., environmental concern. So he told them how to conduct war. Don't harm women, children, elderly, and religious houses. So the Quran, Surah 59, Ayah 19, forget God, he forgets you. Masjid Nasibah, Volume 1, page 54. Knowledge, loss, possession, like strayed beasts. So Prophet Muhammad said, science is the lost possession of the believers. And under Muhammad, science lit the whole world again. It was lost because we became selfish, satisfied like fat-bellied Arabs who betrayed missions of El-Islam and began to wallow in the comforts of El-Islam, brought and forgot the discipline. God said, if you forget me, I'll forget you. So the Quran, Surah 61, Ayat 4, be as a solid wall. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayat 2, heaven raised without pillars you can see. So some of you doubt faith. You do not want to trust faith. So your faith is weak. And I'm sure a lot of you come from Christian backgrounds, and a lot of you in the radio listening audience are Christian, perhaps. And you might recall the preacher saying, quoting the gospel of Christ Jesus, peace be upon him, if you have so much faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can do wonders. So in the Quran and also the Bible, these two books say very much the same thing when addressing major issues of doubt and faith. So my mother had me take care of the garden. I saw her planting mustard seeds so we could have some mustard greens. So those seeds are so small and light, little breezes can blow them away. That is how small the light they are. But if you take one grain of mustard seed and put it on your finger, be careful, because you will drop it and you can hardly see it. If you rub it, it will seem it is hard. And you look at it and it looks dead. But when you put it in the place where God intended to go, to have life again, it becomes a big bush. And just one leaf of that mustard has weight. The grain of the mustard seed looks dead. It is hard, solid faith. So Muhammad the prophet, prayed in the peace be upon him, told his followers what God revealed in the Quran. Be together as a solid wall. We stand together shoulder to shoulder as a solid wall. So when we pray together in congregational prayers and we are standing upon faith, we take the stand upon faith. God says, look at the heavenly bodies, and both scriptures point us to the heavens for us to observe the wisdom for a higher order of human life on this planet Earth. So God says, observe the bodies that you see in the sky and how they appear to be supported without props or supports under them that you can see. So what is that saying to us? That is saying not only your life, but your existence of the material universe is existing upon power that you cannot see. The sun, you cannot see what is holding it up. The moon, you do not see what's holding it up there. You get a telescope and you look at planets, material bodies of material masses bigger than ours, a planet like Jupiter, and you cannot see looking at them in a telescope what is holding them up. And science tells you of the trillions and trillions of tons, not pounds, in that mass, and there it is hanging out there in space, seemingly, with no support holding it up. So this is pointing out to us to tell us to trust the God who designed this creation. Trust the God who designed the universe. Trust him. You cannot explain everything. He did. Trust him. He owes. He knows. You know not. So look at what has done, look at what he has done, and come up with your explanation for it. I know all about universal gravity. That is what science tells us. But when the farmer looks up there, he doesn't see any universal gravity. All he sees is a big body up there and nothing holding them up. So God's lesson is going to stay on matter, what science says. God gives us a lesson. Have faith in the Lord who has designed this world and creation. The way it is designed is too big for your mind to grasp. Have faith in the one who designed it and don't doubt. Die to your own life. Die to your mind and live again. The parable of human life is like a plant. This is scripture, not one scripture. To live again, the plant produces a soft, moist thing called the fruit. So even if it becomes a crusty thing with a hard crust over it, like a walnut, it was soft before it became hard. Later it becomes hard and it invites you and your curiosity to go inside it. And you go inside it and you find some soft meat, the walnut meat. and it chews nights. So if you put that hard nut in the ground and it gets the situation that God created for it to have a birth, it will have a birth. The soft walls will break through the heart and take root in the earth. It will spring up, not a walnut, but a walnut tree with bushes of walnut. That is God's work. So have faith that your little dried up life will have life again. Give it to the plan of God and it will come to life again and spring up bigger and better and more abundantly than it was before. The Quran, Surah 61, Ayah 10, shall I lead you to a bargain so the soul can become defective, distorted, warped, ill-formed. If the wrong things get into the soul, can be destroyed by the world. But if we can keep the soul pure, unadulterated in the human form that God made for it, this soul will keep signaling to our mind, our intellect, our duty and responsibility, and will keep pursuing us until we fulfill our part of the bargain with God, commercial bargain that you'll be so pleased with. Fulfill your obligation to God. So Quran Surah 61, Ayah 10, shall I lead you to a bargain? So this verse ties business with hope for success. It puts business into focus with the hope for success. So this says we are missing the real thing when we are going away from Allah to the dollar for success. Tajira equals commerce, business, enterprise, something that invites and promises profit, material gain. Allah says, shall I turn you on to a business interest that will save you? He didn't say that it will make you rich. Many people are rich, but they are lost. Allah then tells us what to believe in Allah and His messenger. Why? We have to believe in Allah and in ourselves. So the messenger is the model for ourselves. He is the type, personality that Allah wants in us. Prophet Muhammad is the ideal human model. The Quran, Surah 61, Ayah 14, Jesus said, be helpers of Allah. So when Jesus found unbelief on their part, he said, who will be my helpers to the work of Allah? Said the disciples, we are Allah's helpers. We believe in Allah, and we do that bear witness that we are Muslims. Now notice the word that are used here. Jesus said, they answered by saying, As-Surullah. So the word is that, okay, helper, but helper to what? What is it? It is of a word victory, helper to victory, not just helper. Helper can be helping in anything, could be helping to build a masjid, but helper for victory's sake. So they have an object down the road, so they have a goal to reach. So it was asking for helper that would help him in reaching the goal, gain victory. So what is the victory? True freedom, justice, and equality. Who will be my helper to free the minds of oppressed men so that their promised land of true freedom, justice, and equality, dignity will become a reality for us? Who will be my helper? Who will be Jesus' helpers, not worshipers? So what is it saying? Jesus didn't ask for Arabic. He didn't say, who will become my slave or my worshiper or my servant? He said, who will become my helper? He wanted people to help him reach the victory. So those people that helped him reach the victory are not his servants That's why they answered, we are Ansarullah. We are the servants of God. And we bear witness that we are true people, that we are the Muslims. Oh, how wonderful it is, our Lord. We believe in what thou hast revealed, and we follow the apostles. Then write us down amongst those who bear witness. Their prayers were not to die on the wrong side, or to die and not be recorded, that they were on the right side, and not on the wrong side, that the heart of a true believer, he wants to be on the right side, and he wants the record for the record to record him as he was, that he was not with the wrong people. He was on the right side. The Quran, Surah 62, Ayat 2, Muhammad, purify, teacher. So the process of revelation requires the Holy Spirit be in it, evolved, and also that angels be evolved. And then man can be reached through revelation, communication. And these are pure beings that come from help from high up, where there are no impurities. Now we are a sign that the impurities are down here. And the higher you go, the more you get into pure air. Revelation cleans man, then the intellect improves. Power is potential, but cleanliness is needed first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is working on us. He has selected us for himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us purified. He wants us to love righteousness, to love cleanliness, to love decency, so that he may complete his favor on us, his blessings on us. The blessing that he wants to complete needs us first to become clean and decent in our hearts, and in our souls, and in our minds. So we got the rational potential. We got the intellectual potential, but that's not the state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless unless it has decency, cleanliness, a desire for righteousness, desire for cleanliness, desire for decency. So he gives us revelation that before it reaches our intellect, it already touches our heart, and it wants us to be more decent before our Lord. It wants us to be cleaner, more truthful before our Lord. It begins to work on us, to put us in a clear, decent state, and in a more sincere state before even the intellect comes in contact with his great rational message for the future progress of the people on this earth. Promised land is for the intellect. So, you know, when the body wakes up in the morning, the eyes open up, please don't try to get out of the bed before the eyes open up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us with leaders who love righteousness, decency, and truthfulness, who love sincerity, leaders, male and females. And these are going to be the ones that will take us into the promised land for our intellect. So that we will have thinkers, scholars, and scientists born amongst us who will get the attention of the in the literate world. Just like those got the attention of the literate world in the time of our prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, from hearing the Quran explained and taught by him. Someone might say, oh, you're referring to yourself. No. I said we would have leaders, not just one, not just myself. I'm not just one. We will have leaders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless and is blessing because of their sincerity, their desire for righteousness and decency, uprightness and cleanliness, etc. The Quran says he will purify them and teach them the book. And the wisdom or the rule of logic for the book, which will make them wise and give birth to scientists. So dawn is of the intellect. Now going back to the interpretation of the night of power as the Muslim era or the Muslim age reading on the Genesis, the beginning of the creation, and understanding that the agent of God, the Holy Spirit, and the angels were really pure beings. And they must descend first, and then revelation comes, and then the dawn, day, and the dawning. A day with the Lord is as a thousand with you. It is the scripture, isn't it? Before. So the old scripture that a day with the Lord is a thousand with you. So here comes the day, the dawning of the intellect, the drawing of the intellect. When this drawing starts happening in the intellect, then the same thing starts happening in the garden. The same thing happens for the world that happened for the garden. That God created the man, put him in the garden. Then he charged him to do what? Dress the garden, dress the garden. So garden believers will be in the garden of their souls. So these ones who love righteousness and purity, they will be awakened. Their intellect will be awakened. And they will see themselves standing in the garden of their own souls. And they will get the message from God, dress the garden, and the Lord thy revealed the world of the Quran, to awaken our intellect, to turn us on to scientific inquiry, as well as to obedience as servants. The same God will have us pretty soon dressing the God. Say these soul brothers, they will have their own dress up with clothing manufactured by them, with homes developed, built by them, with factories established by them, with street paved by them. Now this is dressing the garden. My soul is here, but it needs dress, so you should see me in my dress. That's the way I want to see my soul brother. I want to see a soul brother in a skyscraper that he put up. I want to see a soul brother in a cement factory that he's operating. Automobile factory that he's responsible for, etc. Wouldn't that be dressing the soul brother? He would be dressed up, then wouldn't he? Lord have mercy. So the Quran, Surah 62, Ayah 2, prophets sent to purify and educate. And it is even worse when others have to come in and provide those things for us. So let us not forget that those things that we think of, perhaps only in abstract, are very much necessary as energizers, as germs of light, to manifest material interests. And we include in the picture taqwa, takhira, purity. Those represent the precious beginning of the real life for the mind of man. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, to lead us out of the darkness into the light, and to purify us and to break every bond of slavery. He wasn't free, not to free to enjoy the world like hungry animals, but free to enjoy the world like intelligent men. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us perform in the life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for us. Human life, compassionate life, life that has consideration for other life, feel need for others, life that is intelligent, not foolish, a life of appreciating beauty and appreciating order and orderliness. So this is what makes a second man, a higher man in creation. So he is sensitive to the more important thing, and he understands that although the material world is the first moon of life, He understands that digesting, understanding that the material world gives him a higher existence and a higher world of abstract. So when abstract becomes a higher language of the material world and the ABC block of the material language that we learn in elementary level of the trip to the place of enlightenment. The Arabic Bashara is the good news. Bashir is the good news giver. So we don't call human skin by this name, but the piling of appeal of apple has this name, the skin of the outer thing. So that is to tell us that this new man, God created him in his own sensitive concerns, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forms his life anew out of those sensitive concerns. The Quran, Surah 62, Ayat 5, donkey carrying books. Knowledge should also structure you. So there are many African Americans with doctorate degrees that have nothing but time on and leisure. So some of these people have no more than the bum in the street has. A whole lot of time and nothing to do. Anyone who has earned a doctorate degree should not be idle. They are supposed to have the intelligence to make a job for themselves. They are supposed to have enough sense to establish themselves. So what is the problem? The problem is that the African American is not really structured by the knowledge he has acquired. So when you acquire knowledge, the knowledge should also structure you. Some people just have knowledge, but they have not structured their own life after that knowledge. Their life is the life of a poor man. They are like the Quran says of them, a donkey carrying huge loads of books. So you can have 50 PhDs, don't. But if you just memorize the knowledge in order to pass the required examination, then you have not grown with the knowledge. But if you have grown with your learning so that it influences the shaping of your life and you take on principles dictated by the knowledge you receive, then you will grow and be in the likeness of your knowledge. If you have the dignity of your field, you will not accept to be either with the poor. Why can't the African American people establish themselves? Why can't the African Caribbean people establish themselves? We are all the same people from the same African ancestry, and we all depend on the white man for hope. We have no vision of our own. We are just following the white man's light. Therefore, we stay in the dark. So the object of life is to serve God. So what will bring the African-American into the proper ordering of his emotionality, into the proper devotional urge rather than the pleasure urge? So this world sells us citizens on the pleasure urge. They say that pleasure is the first motivation, that the object of man's life is to be happy. Yes, happiness is a primary need in life. It certainly is basic, but the wise don't call it happiness. They call it well-being. They said that the natural object, the natural goal of life, is well-being. Happiness is too vague of a term to describe this natural goal. So let us take a look at the word well-being. Well-being is not only an essential requirement in our life, it is an essential requirement in the life of anything, a dog, cat, or any other creature will struggle for well-being. But well-being for the human being is a big term, because the limit for our growth is much bigger than the limit for the growth of an ordinary animal or creature. So we may be happy, we may start out seeking to acquire something that our life needs. We may acquire what we were seeking and still not find happiness, because what we needed or wanted was just one part of what our life really needs. While we are seeking it, we thought that it was the whole. We might say, if I could just get that, I know I'll be happy. Finding happiness. Some people think that if they get enough wealth where they don't have to be insecure or feel any material threat, they will be happy. Most people who have a lot of money are not really happy. There are some people who think that if they get enough knowledge, it will make them happy. You will find that some of the saddest people are those with PhDs. None of those things just mentioned are guaranteed happiness. So the only guarantee for happiness is that you please God. God says of those who please him, that he will make their life pleasing to them. So this is well-being. Emotionality is a baby state in the evolution of man. So the same condition that keeps the African-American people out of progress is a necessary condition to bring them to the proper state. So this emotional makeup that keeps them out of the progress will keep them out of the establishment if allowed to prevail in their lives. So this same condition is also necessary to get them on the right path. Emotionality is a baby state in the evolution of man. So if we look at the level of progression that life goes through, that society historically has to rise to, we know that the state of the emotionality is one of the primitive states of man. But nevertheless, it is the emotional state. You must first order correctly before you can find your correct way in the world. Faith is a form of emotionality. Emotionality in its proper state is the suitable womb for the birth of the intellect. Faith is a form of emotionality. I have faith because of my emotional makeup, my spiritual expression, my fears, emotionality. So we find then that the original form of man is emotionality. Thus it is emotionality that the intellect dawns. Emotionality is the proper state and the suitable wound for the birth of the intellect. So the thing that is wrong with the African people and their descendants is the following: a people who are not responsible for establishing them in the world. If they would stop following another people and try to find God and try to solve their problems upon their own strength, their own sensitivity, their own motivation, they would come to life once again. This is the answer. And it is as simple as that. We live in a country where we were once slaves. And what has been our path from slavery to freedom, it has been one of rejection to integration. We were struggling against social rejection. To be integrated, to get into the mainstream of life in America. Our whole history as a people in this country has been one of struggling under the pressures of separation and segregation and trying to get out of an solitude situation and be accepted in the white man's society. Isolated, pardon me. That's what I was looking for. Situation being accepted in the white man's society. So integration is not the answer in an unjust society. So there is nothing wrong with integration. That is a sensible urge and direction to follow if the society is suitable. The society that is suitable will help you enter it. And when you are near, they will give you more and share with you what they have. But if there is a society in which you are not wanted, and that society is not based upon pure principles, the closer you get, the more their progress is upstage to keep you out. In their estimation, you can form one situation of subjection to another situation of subjection because they upstage the strategy to keep you out. And as though you are in the society physically, but you are not yet a part of it. Look at the word integration. The Nation of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was calling for separation, and the Civil Rights Movement was calling for integration. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad movement made more progress during the conflict of the Civil Rights Movement than ever before. Those were the glorious days of the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam was voicing a contrary or different opinion than the one voiced by the black masses of the Civil Rights Movement. The Civil Rights Movement gained prominence around 1954 or 1955 when Dr. King and Rosa Parks brought the situation into the eyes of the nation and the world. And it was from the time on to that Honorable Elijah Muhammad began to make big outward gains. People in the civil rights movement desired to be accepted as a natural part of the American life and society. The Nation of Islam was insisting upon its own life and identity, separation from the life of America and the American society. So these two extremes were operating, one calling for integration, the other calling for separation. Dr. King appealed to the society sentiment, the hurt woman. Why was one movement calling for integration? What was the main motive, the main force asking for integration? All you have to do is look at the character of the leader. The leadership was emotionality. Dr. King, with his ringing, beautiful orator, was full of emotional impact. His appeal was not to the scientists of the society. His appeal was to the sentiment of the society. So he was appealing to the society's sentiment to support something that is just, no more than humanly decent. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, on the other side, he was claiming to be pragmatic, claiming to be scientific. But actually, he was just the other side of the emotional ball, expressing the same thing. He was saying, "You devil, you." When asked why he called a white man the devil, he replied, "Because he mistreats my people and won't allow me the opportunity to get what he has." Both movements was of the same thing. One is the hurt woman who says, "Prove it to me that you are a human being by loving me and letting me share your life." And the other is the hurt woman which says, "I don't believe you anymore. It is finished for good." So donkey represents ignorant, uneducated people. The Quran Surah 62, Ayat 5. And that's where we'll start with tomorrow. Thank you, may God guide us. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Maran Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m.